Hi, this is CJ Wilson for the Green Bay Packers, and you listen to Railbird Central.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football, but I would be remiss if I didn't start off with some Badgers basketball. We'll give you the Packers connection, though. Just as we talked about our last episode of Railbird Central last Friday, Aaron Rodgers was in the house for the Packers' Sweet 16 victory over Baylor. That continued on Saturday evening. Aaron Rodgers once again in the house as the Badgers beat the Arizona Wildcats in the Elite Eight matchup. Now, moving on to the Final Four. Congratulations to the Wisconsin Badgers. Of course, I'm a proud alum of the university, but I imagine there's a lot of people in this state who are proud of the Badgers and glad to see another appearance in the Final Four for the first time since the year 2000. 14 years later, Badgers make their next trip, first for head coach Bo Ryan. Congratulations to Ryan. Congratulations to all the players. It was a very fun season, and it's not over yet. They will play Kentucky on Saturday. And, you know, here's where kind of, you know, where Badgers world meets Packers world here. Aaron Rodgers once again breaking down the post-game huddle games out in Anaheim this past week after the Badgers won their Elite Eight victory. But where the Badgers play next just so happens to be the site of the Final Four is AT&T Stadium in Dallas. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers knows a thing or two about winning games in that building. Of course, that being the site of the Packers' Super Bowl XLV exploits, their win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. So maybe Aaron Rodgers shared some pointers about what it takes to win in that building. Probably not, but just an interesting coincidence there. So good luck to the Badgers. I know the state of Wisconsin will be very much focused on the Final Four this upcoming weekend, and hopefully that extends into next Monday in a national championship game. So a lot of fun basketball watching over the weekend. And heck, even just sports world in general, today's opening day for the Milwaukee Brewers this afternoon. So a lot of cool sports stuff going on right now, definitely for sure. So, and Masters just a week away, the golf calendar starts getting heated up, great time of the year. And of course, NFL draft, you know, we're talking about that for the next month or so. So a lot of cool stuff. But anyway, okay, let's talk some Packers football here. We got a topic to break down the rest of this episode, and that is the new look Packers defensive line, kind of now that CJ Wilson has officially departed the Green Bay Packers. CJ Wilson signed Friday afternoon with the Oakland Raiders. So after our last episode of Railbird Central, CJ Wilson played with the Packers for the first four seasons of his career, hitting free agency for the first time here of his career this past week. And he joins others Packers free agents to go out to Oakland, like James Jones, like Charles Woodson. There's a few other kind of guys a little bit further down the depth chart that have been on the Packers roster in seasons past, like Brandy and Ross, guys like that. But the reason there's such a connection, you could almost call it Green Bay West a little bit. Maybe not everybody. Some people might argue that's Minnesota, where former Packers players pen to go. Obviously, the connection here between Raiders general manager Reggie McKenzie and his former employer, the Green Bay Packers, where he used to be a front office executive in the personnel department. So obviously, there's some connections going on there, and Reggie McKenzie reaching out to these guys who we think can help their team out west there in Oakland. So, as far as I've seen, terms of the deal have not been disclosed. I do not know either how long or for how much C.J. Wilson signed for with the Raiders. Kind of waiting on that to figure out whether he'll, you know, get the Packers a compensatory draft pick. I wouldn't expect that C.J. Wilson signed for a whole lot of money. But who knows? All of a sudden, he signs for over $1 million a year, and the Packers could end up with something. So we'll see when those numbers come out. Probably wouldn't doubt if they release today, even sometime later this afternoon. If they are, we'll try to put them up on CheeseheadTV.com. But anyway, so you know, C.J. Wilson is the fourth Packers player to leave Green Bay this offseason, following James Jones, Evan Dietrich Smith, and Marshall Newhouse. All four of them have departed the Packers. And I suppose here I could take a moment to thank C.J. Wilson for his years of service in Green Bay. I think people kind of forget that C.J. Wilson was actually a starter on the Packers Super Bowl XLV team, believe it or not. Now, he wasn't typically a starter, but the Packers, you know, they were so worried about Rashard Mendenhall and the Steelers' ground game back in 2010 that they actually went with a four-man defensive line to open the game and use that formation, that, you know, personnel grouping quite a bit throughout Super Bowl XLV, you know, when B.J. Raji was on the field, Ryan Pickett, Howard Green, who now hasn't been with the Packers for a few years, but, you know, kind of one of those big pickups during that Super Bowl season. Those guys combined with C.J. Wilson all started along the defensive line. And of course, who could forget the story that has since come out after the Super Bowl? It was C.J. Wilson and his piano playing abilities, where at the Packers team hotel the evening before the Super Bowl, the Saturday night before, C.J. Wilson hops on the grand piano in the hotel's lobby, and all of a sudden teammates just start gathering around him. They start singing songs. Kind of exemplified what teamwork was all about, and bonding as part of a team, and you kind of realize, you know, when a team like that has such strong bonds, those guys feel for each other, have a good time together, why that team was able to win a Super Bowl victory that year. A good story for C.J. Wilson, a guy who can play the piano apparently very well. So very cool story there with Super Bowl XLV. But C.J. Wilson, you know, kind of always, he was the run stuffer on the Packers team the past 4 years. Kind of had a lot of sacks in college. Never really lived up to that reputation of being a pass rusher at the next level. But surprisingly became an improved run stuffer every year. He wasn't used a lot in pass rushing situations, but whenever the Packers had to, you know, stuff the run, whenever they were in short yardage, when they were in goal line situations, whenever they used that kind of hippo four defensive lineman formation, a lot of times it was C.J. Wilson out there on the field. He kind of became almost a game-in, game-out starter in the year 2012. Not to say he started every game, but I think he started something like 9 out of 16 games that year. So more often than not, he was a starter in the Packers 3-4 defense. And then this past year, you kind of saw the Packers go away from C.J. Wilson quite a bit, actually. After Johnny Jolly came back, I think that had a big part to do with it. Johnny Jolly was, of course, you know, like over 325 pounds, whereas CJ Wilson was a little bit closer to, you know, a little over 300, maybe up to 310, but not quite the same size, quite the same bulk as Jolly. And so he kind of fell out of favor. In fact, you know, CJ Wilson a lot of times was a game day inactive this past year. You know, when the Packers had a healthy enough roster, CJ Wilson wasn't playing, even though he himself was healthy. He was just kind of relegated to the sidelines. He played a little bit and again kind of played that run stuffing role, but kind of fell out of favor a little bit. Just again, not, you know, he just didn't have enough in him to be that kind of guy who, you know, you make as part of your game day active roster. He never quite provided enough, you know, from both a pass rush and a run stuff standpoint. A good run stuffer, but, you know, how valuable is that in an NFL that doesn't really run all that much? You know, of course, the game revolves around the pass nowadays. But, you know, CJ Wilson now goes out to Oakland and sees what he can do out there. Like I said, joining James Jones out there. We'll see how the Oakland Raiders do this upcoming 2014 season, as they very much are involved in free agency. They were not worried about the comp pick formula this past year. I think Reggie McKenzie's like, okay, we're not getting any comp picks, so let's go crazy in free agency this year. They've signed a bunch of guys, not just former Packers. They've signed a bunch of guys out there, including Maurice Jones-Drew just recently, and a bunch more as well. We'll see how Oakland does. But okay, so how does this impact the Packers' defensive line this upcoming year? What's going to happen along the Packers' defensive line? It as you can see, it's kind of becoming much smaller. You know, not entirely. I mean, B.J. Raji is back, of course. The Packers brought him back on the one-year contract. But with Wilson gone, and also Jolly and Pickett still being free agents. Now, the Packers haven't ruled out bringing either Jolly or Pickett back. I think they're kind of waiting on Johnny Jolly's injury. I don't think Johnny Jolly, because of his injury, because of his past history, he's going to get any, you know, interest on the free agent market from any other teams. So the Packers can probably get him back at, you know, minimum NFL salary, and which is fine. And with Ryan Pickett, I think they're kind of waiting until after the NFL draft, see if they bring in any defensive linemen through the draft. But I would say the Packers are probably most likely moving on from Ryan Pickett. It's nice to know that, you know, maybe they could get him, if nobody else wants him, or, you know, all of a sudden an injury happens and they have to sign Ryan Pickett. You know, that's good news that the Packers can pick up a guy off the street, maybe that has, you know, a very intimate knowledge of the Packers systems, and if he were to step in, he could do so without, you know, missing a beat, and the Packers defense not missing a beat and all that. But it looks like they're moving away from Jolly, Pickett, at least those guys playing large roles, of course CJ Wilson, and so the Packers defensive line kind of getting smaller. I mean, they still have B.J. Raji, who's apparently going to move to nose tackle. And of course, that, you know, assumes when the Packers are in their base 3-4 defense, kind of when they're in their nickel and dime sub packages, and they only have two defensive linemen. Those guys don't really line up head up on the nose. B.J. Raji going to, you know, basically line up right over center, right over the football, kind of where he's closest to the football. thinking that, you know, maybe he can make a few more plays there. I love this, you know, this saying, whatever it is, you know, that the shortest distance between 2 points is a straight line. And you know, when you're putting B.J. Raji right over the football, he's as close to the football as you can possibly be. And maybe there is that possibility that he can make more plays there. Now certainly, that a lot of the burden falls on B.J. Raji himself and simply elevating his level of play. No doubt about it. I'm not making excuses for the guy. He looked, you know, very poor at times over the past few seasons and just didn't appear to give much of an effort, which is weird because we saw him be a very good player in the Packers Super Bowl season. You know, the guy was as good a nose tackle as there was in the NFL that season. You know, 6.5 sacks. I mean, that's fantastic for a guy of his size who's 335 plus pounds for Raji. So, you know, he'll be manning that. And I would assume more often than not, when they go to, you know, their sub packages, their nickel, their dime, you are seeing B.J. Raji come off the field in favor of, you know, some of the guys who are going to play big time pass rushing roles. We're talking about guys who proved that last year, especially in Mike Daniels. He finally provided the Packers with their interior pass rushing specialist that has been missing ever since Cullen Jenkins left in free agency. So Mike Daniels can be that guy. And as we know, he's played a very underrated job stuffing the run, considering that, you know, he's doesn't even stand 6 foot tall and he's only about 300 pounds. You know, he's undersized for a defensive lineman, but just overachieves in every sense of the word. You know, Mike Daniels will very much be playing a larger role even on this team this year and probably the next few years, as long as he's in the green and gold. He just is an ascending player who has really helped the team out very much. I assume Dayton Jones will play a much bigger role this year. Hopefully he has better health. Mike McCarthy has kind of acknowledged that early season ankle injury to Dayton Jones probably set him back more than anybody realized at the time. You know, he kind of fought through it and played, but Dayton Jones was never really the same. It kind of impacted how he played. So hopefully, you know, he's healthier for one. And, you know, as a product of that, you know, ends up, you know, having more production. I think he's a guy who you'll see as a base defensive end when the Packers are in their 3-4 defense. And a guy who can also be another interior pass rusher when the Packers go to those packages. Packers have lots of guys who can be interior pass rushers. I think Dayton Jones and Mike Daniels are kind of the two they expect to be the top guys there. But Mike Neal, despite being an outside linebacker, as you know, the Packers, if you watch them, they are not afraid to continue to put him back as an interior pass rusher there as well. They will place him at a defensive tackle position in addition to being an outside linebacker. B.J. Raji has very much been a sub-package rusher over the years. I think you're going to see less of that, but, you know, he's still a guy who can do it. So that's what you're going to see the Packers doing a lot with their defensive linemen this year, especially on the interior. You've got Josh Boyd, you've got Jarrell Worthy. You know, it's a make-or-break season for Jarrell Worthy here, probably. Ever since he came to Green Bay as a second-round draft choice, Jarrell Worthy has not really lived up to expectations. Part of it had to do with, you know, simply being a rookie in 2012. You know, just kind of learning the ropes, things like that. Another big part of it had to do with Jarrell Worthy being injured this past year, coming off that torn ACL and surgery. But, you know, there's no excuses now in 2014 for Jarrell Worthy. He's got to start living up to the expectations of a second-round draft choice if he wants to stick around. I mean, the good thing is the Packers have enough other bodies that they don't have to rely on Jarrell Worthy. But, I mean, it's, you know, they are just totally leaving everything on his plate and up to him. You know, he's going to have to prove himself. Jarrell Worthy's going to have this whole off-season program whenever the players return for their kind of off-season practices here, OTAs, mini camp in April and May. You know, it's going to be up to Jarrell Worthy to impress, and that's going to continue into training camp, July, August, preseason action. It's all going to be up to Jarrell Worthy. If he can prove and if he can impress, the Packers will figure out some role for him, but it's totally up to Jarrell Worthy. They're not going to put him on the field simply because he was a second-round draft choice. He's going to have to earn his playing time. You know, if he wants to be next to Mike Daniels out there, he's going to have to earn it. So everything's in Jarrell Worthy's hands. I wish him the best of luck. I'm not banking on him to play a big role, but hey, please, by all means, Jarrell Worthy, prove everybody wrong and get out there and play your butt off and be a big part of this team. So those, again, are your interior pass rushers. Now, what are the Packers going to do with their defensive linemen? I mean, this is the big question ever since they signed Julius Peppers. What are they going to do with their outside linebackers / elephants? And you know, where is Jarrell Worthy or Julius Peppers going to play when the Packers are in their base 3-4? Is he really going to play in their base 3-4? You know, as we've learned, Julius Peppers is going to be kind of basically grouped with the outside linebackers for as far as practice goes and things like that. You know, his practice partners are going to be guys like Clay Matthews, Mike Neal, Nick Perry, Andy Malumba. So kind of interesting there. In that, I mean, you talk about Neal, Peppers, Perry, all those guys, you can make the argument that their best position, their best fit is, you know, as a 4-3 defensive end. And kind of, you know, basically when the Packers are in their nickel and dime and they're rushing the passer and things like that, and it's third and long, second and long, I mean, they basically have a four-man defensive line, basically with, you know, two guys in the interior, two guys on the edges. But, you know, how are they going to utilize these guys? Is it going to be Julius Peppers opposite Clay Matthews on the edges of the defense? Are they sometimes going to line up on the same side of the defense together? Is Julius Peppers going to line up in a two-point stance? Is he going to be in a three-point stance? Is he going to drop into coverage? I mean, these are all the big questions that, you know, we really want answered. We're not going to get answered until, you know, at least, you know, it kind of might start seeing some things when the Packers start their off-season practices and in the spring here and in April and May, but you're probably not getting a full picture yet. And it'll start to become more clear as you go through training camp and finally get to the season, how exactly the Packers are going to utilize them. I mean, they're going to be certain things they're not going to really want to show until the regular season. They don't want, you know, opponents to game plan for them. So there are things they kind of keep secret, unscouted looks, as Mike McCarthy likes to say. So, but I mean, it'll be interesting how the Packers are going to utilize these elephant ends, more or less, which is kind of a hybrid position. And, you know, are they going to run the hybrid defense where it's essentially zone on one side, man schemes on another, things like that? It's hard to say. I've kind of been a proponent where you've got all these pass rushers now, a collection of them that's probably only going to grow bigger after the NFL draft and they add another one or two. Is Clay Matthews going to line up essentially at inside linebacker off the line of scrimmage once in a while? I think he has the capability to do so, but I mean, how often do you want Clay Matthews lining up as an inside linebacker? It's okay. Yeah. If he's spying the quarterback, if they're playing athletic one, or if he's, just simply going to send him on a blitz up the middle. But how often do you want Clay Matthews, sent on blitzes up the middle where he's banged around by guards and centers and then a fullback who's sticking around to pick up the blitz? Do you want him doing that down in and down out? I'm not sure the Packers do, especially considering Clay Matthews' injury history over the years. You know, these past 2 years have been especially hard on Clay Matthews with the broken thumb, with the hamstring issues, etc., etc. It's been one injury after another and one game after another that he's been out and held out, and the Packers never have placed him on injured reserve, but those thoughts cross your mind at least whether he might have landed on injured reserve last year after breaking that thumb a second time. So it really has been a difficult time for Clay Matthews to stay healthy. You kind of hope he's one of those guys who's not made of porcelain and he just, had a little bit of bad luck here. And especially when you're talking about broken bones, a lot of times that stuff is just bad luck and not necessarily making you injury prone in any way. But, comes down to it. He's got to stay healthy, and same for a lot of the guys on the Packers defense, like Nick Perry as well, who's missed a lot of games the past few years. It's up to him to stay healthy. I really think Nick Perry can be a good player, but he's got to be healthy to do so. Him after breaking the bone in his foot this past year and the bone in his wrist the year before that, it's been unfortunate, but obviously, how do you be good on a consistent basis? How do you even continue to develop as a football player if you're not playing, let alone practicing? Getting better from practice to practice and out there learning, learning techniques and learning what opponents are going to do. It's tough. There's so few guys out there that can simply not practice during the week and then play on Sundays. So many guys need that week of practice. I mean, you need to see the scout team running what you're going to see out there. You need those kind of things as a player in order to be effective. And hopefully the Packers can get back to being a healthy team this year. Again, not using injury as an excuse. I mean, the Packers have weathered the injury storm, you could say. These past few years, three out of the past four years have been very heavy injury years. Winning three straight NFC North titles, but of course, everybody will say it's not about winning division titles; it's about winning Super Bowls. And the Packers really, these past three, ever since winning Super Bowl XLV, haven't exactly come close. They haven't been even to a conference championship game since that time. They're getting eliminated in the wild card round and the divisional round of the playoffs, which is not, making the playoffs is better than not making the playoffs, but not exactly where you want to get knocked out and frequently by the 49ers and quarterback Colin Kaepernick. How the Packers continue to defend him will be of utmost interest this season and whenever the Packers take on the 49ers in years to come here. How they're going to spy mobile quarterbacks, things like that. Are they going to use Clay Matthews? Are they going to use somebody else? All that'll be really, really interesting. But We've come to the end of the show here on a Monday morning at Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us talking about Packers football here on a Monday morning. We'll be back again on Wednesday, as we are every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. As usual, I say stay tuned to CheeseheadTV.com for all your news needs all week long. So we'll be back again on Wednesday. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, everyone. I leave you with a song called Texas Town by Honky Tonk Homeslice on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go.